let's just a quick review. Quick review of what's going on here. So basically, the Mishnah says, when Yod Zayin Ben Aleph Megillah. The Mishnah says, if you read the Megillah out of order, you're not Yotzei. Okay, you can't read out of order. It has to be from beginning down. So the question is, how do we know? How do we know that? Maybe you could read it out of order. So the Gemara says, Rava, there's two answers. Rava, and then the Gemara rejects Rava, and the Gemara gives its own answer. Okay? So we did Rava last time. So I'll review Rava and the rejection. But Rava, so Rava says, the Megillah says, La'asos, I forget the beginning of the pasuk. La'asos says, Yemeapur Ma'ila, that the Jews accepted, maybe Kimu Kibulam, Alayam, Alzaram, whatever, La'asos, Yemeapur Ma'ila, they accepted upon themselves to do these days of Purim, Kechsavam Vichizmanam, like they were written and like their times. Okay, like it was written about and like occurred in those times. Okay? Kechsavam Vichizmanam. It's a comparison of the puzzle between the Ksavam, the writing, and the times. So the Gemara says, just like times can't go backwards, can't go out of order, you can't have 15 before 14, so too Ksavam, the writing, can't be out of order. Okay? So the writing can't be out of order. So we said, we had a question. What do you mean? That the writing, we're not discussing the writing. We're discussing the reading of the Megillah. All right, so what does that have anything to do with saying is that the writing can't be out of order. This discussion isn't about the writing. Of course the Megillah can't be written in backwards. The question is, given that the Megillah is written correctly, could you read it out of order? That was our question. And then the Gemara had a different question, is that the Pasuk's not talking about reading the Megillah. It's talking about La'asos Yisimei HaPurim, to make the days of Purim, to do Purim, to celebrate Purim, like was written in like their times. So how do you get from the Pasuk, which is talking about making the days of Purim, celebrating Purim, to talking about reading the Megillah? It's not discussing reading the Megillah. Okay, so they're different questions. What we're saying is, what?
There's some type of jump.
Yeah, there's a jump there, exactly. So therefore, the Gemara goes on, and this is what we want to take up a little later today. The Gemara says, no, it's learned out from a different pasuk, which says, "Vayom haylo niskarim enasim." These days will be remembered and done. Okay, remembered means read them through Megillah, and done means through celebrating. Okay, so that's comparing the doing and the remembering. Just like the doing can't be out of order because you can't celebrate 15 before 14, so too the niskarim, the remembering it, namely the reading of Megillah, can't be out of order. So that's what the Gemara finally goes with. That's what we're going to take up. But for starters, we want to know what's Rava's far. Okay, what was Rava? How does Rava? First of all, two problems on Rava. First of all, how do you learn it out from the Kichsav and the Chizmanim? Just like the times can't be out of order, the writing can't be out of order. We're not discussing writing. We're talking about reading. And secondly, the Pasuk's not talking about reading the Megillah altogether. It's talking about celebrating the Yemei HaPurim. So how could you deduce from there about reading the Megillah? Okay. So we said as follows. Is that according to Rava, there's a premise. Okay, Rava has a premise that the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. Let me just think where I want to start. Okay, the mitzvah of reading the Megillah is a mitzvah of there's a text. Because the question is, what does the writing have to do with the reading? So obviously, Rava holds there's an intimate connection between the writing and the reading. What we said is that the writing of the Megillah, the reading of the Megillah, is the realization of the text. There's a text of Megillah, which is a book, and a book is meant to be written. You write a book, and a book is meant to be written. When you read the book, you're supposed to be realizing the objective of the text. The text is finding its fruition, its realization, when you read the thing. So the mitzvah of reading the Megillah is not just reviewing certain events in your head, it's actualizing the text. The text is being realized when its objective is being fulfilled when you read it. And the mitzvah is like you're taking the text and bringing it to life through your reading. That's the mitzvah of the reading. The reading is the fulfillment of the text. Okay? Now, within a text, the Pasuk is teaching that the text has to be in order. Okay? So, what do you mean the text has to be? Of course the text has to be in order. All right? We're not discussing that. But we said that there's two types of orders in the text. Two types of orders you can have in a book. One type of order is an essential, an intrinsic order, and the other one is, we call it like an accidental order. So the example we have is a pun book. A pun book. You know, a book of puns? You know?
Yeah.
Some people, there exist such things. So I hear. So so if you have a pun book, a book of puns, there's no order to a book of puns. What's the difference? There's a million puns. Who really cares how you order them? Right? Talking loosely, you know. So in a certain book, the order is, so in a pun book, it doesn't matter really what order. It's a compilation of 1,000 different puns or whatever, or 10,000 or however many, you know. So the order, it just, you can't have a book that doesn't have an order, right? A book is, has to be so, you know, stitched together, bound pages, bound, whatever, right? So there has to be an order. But the order is not essential. You can read it in any order you want. It's just, there's a convenience to putting an order. That's like an accidental order. As opposed to, let's say, you have a novel. A novel's order is essential. It's not just, you can't read it backwards. There's no, the whole thing, it's an unfolding where the beginnings, the middle begins on the, you know, builds on the beginning, and the end builds on the, both of those. Right, that's an essential order. So he said is that in the book of the Megillah, you can ask, well, is the Megillah just like a book which is a compilation of many ideas, and the order is accidental? Or do you say that the order is like it's a story, and the order is an essential part of the story, halachically? I mean, of course, you could weigh
Hi,
in.
Hi, Dr. J here.
Hi, Dr. J, how you doing? So we're talking about the Megillah. So we're saying the Megillah, of course, you could theorize that the order is important. But halachically, is the order an essential component of the Megillah, or is the order accidental? Okay, that's the question. So what's the difference? Who cares halachically? So he's saying the difference is here. That's what Kichsav Mechuzman was teaching you. Just like in time, there's an essential relationship, 14 and 15. It's not just accidental, right? The days build on one another, so the order is essential. So too, the Kichsav of the Megillah is an essential component of the thing. The order of the thing is an essential of the book. Or the Megillah is an essential component of the thing, of the Megillah. So what? So the answer is, Rava says, I'll tell you what, that since Rava learns the mitzvah is that you must actualize the text of the Megillah, you must realize the text through Kriya, so if the text, the order of the text was accidental, it just happens to have to take on an order because, hey, a book has to have an order. So then if the mitzvah is to realize the text of the Megillah, so it wouldn't matter if you read it in order or out of order. Because the order is not really an essential thing. It just happens to be. It's bound or whatever. It has to physically have an order. But you could say that you've realized that text, even if you read it out of order. But since you tell me that the order of the text is an essential component of the text, so therefore, if you want to do a mitzvah kriya, which is a realization of that text, so you have to read it in order. If you read it out of order, you can't say you've realized the text of the Megillah. The text of the Megillah has an order, has an essential component of it. So that's what Rava is saying. It's Kichsava Mechuzmanim is showing you that the order of the text is essential. And as such, since Rava has a premise that the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah is the realization of that text, so therefore you know that you must read it in order. And that's why that's the whole answer of the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara says, it's not talking about Kriyas Megillah. It's talking about making the days of Purim. That's true. But in doing so, it mentions Kichsav, it compares the Kichsav and the Zman, Kichsav and Zmanim, which indicates that the Kichsav of the Megillah has an essential order. And we deduce from that, it's not talking directly about the Kriya, but since his premise is that the Kriya is a realization of the text, once you tell me about the text, so then you know that you could deduce about the nature of the Kriya, and the halachas about the Kriya. That's how Rava, that's how we used to explain Rava, and that's what we said Rava will answer Gemara's Kasha. But apparently, and this is what we're up to, the Gemara doesn't hold by that, doesn't hold by Rava. For some reason, argues on Rava, rejects Rava, and has to give a different explanation based upon Niskarim Vinasim. That just days are remembered and done, and just like the doing has to be in order, so too the remembering has to be in order. So our question is, what doesn't the Gemara like about Rava, and what's the Gemara's new theory? Pshat, the Gemara's Kasha, the question on Rava is, it says, does it say anything about reading the Megillah? All it says is about celebrating the days of Purim. So you can't learn out from there. Rather, it's learned out from a pasuk which says, and these days are remembered and done. Remembered is a reference to Mikra Megillah. Done is a reference to the celebrating of the days. And it's comparing the celebration to the reading of the Megillah, just like the celebration takes place in an order, 14 and 15. So the Megillah takes place in order. Why is that better? What is this position holding as opposed to Rava? And what don't they like about Rava? Okay, so I think the first amount is a good first step is that it would seem Rava's premise was that the mitzvah of the Kriya is the realization of the Kesav, and that's why he could learn from this what it tells you something about the Kesav that indicates something about the Kriya. And the Gemara's kasha on him is, well, it doesn't say anything about reading. So it must be the Gemara doesn't buy that premise. Neil, that's not the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. It's not a realization of Ksav. And therefore, where did your pasuk mention anything at all about Kriyas Megillah? So therefore they reject him. So the question is, so then you have to say, well, if they don't buy that premise, what then is their premise? What is the mitzvah of Kriya? So if you want to know, look what they learned. They learned Iskar Menasa. Right? That the these days should be remembered and done. Remembered means by Mikra Megillah, and done means through the celebrating. So you see, what's their idea of Mikra Megillah? Niskarim. Niskarim. So now we have to just explain what that means. What does that mean exactly? And given that that is their idea, what's the concept of the comparison between Niskarim and Nasim, which teaches you, what's the concept that the Limud is teaching you such that you have to read the thing in order? Right? What's their idea of reading it in order? Right, whereas because the old idea is, has to do with the text, the nature of the text, this has nothing to do with that. This has to do with their mitzvah, Mikra Megillah, of Niskarim. So presumably you're going to have to cast a different Havin Maskana within this framework. Okay, but it seems like that's the direction, right? They reject his idea that it's the realization of the text. They hold the Mikra is tied in with Niskarim. We just have to explain this thing. There is. See, here's what's a little interesting or tricky about this idea, is that in a certain sense, there's intuitive sense to the idea of reading the Megillah in order. And it kind of, you know, yeah, there's a story and all that, right? But apparently it's not so simple, right? I mean, the Gemara is a lema for it. So apparently there's a Havamina that it would be valid to read it out of order. And the Pasuk is teaching you by the comparison to the Asiya, right? Just like the doing has to be in order, so too the Stira has to be in order. So if your svara is that logically zechira has to be in order, or something like that, then you don't need the limud. You don't need to compare it to the asiya. So it must mean that logically there's a svara, a good havamina to say, even though it's zechira, it could be out of order. Comes along the comparison to asiya, and it shows you no. This zechira got to be in order zechira. It's a different kind of zechira or something like. It's not the Zechira type A, which order could be where order doesn't matter. It's order type B, where, you know, Zechira type B, where order does matter. You know what I mean? And we just have to fill in those blanks. You know what I mean? But so we have to, like, kind of use the limud to guide us towards the definition, which is, you know, which the Gemara is getting at. I mean, that's important, you know, and as far as the kind of whatever effect you have, to let them guide you towards the idea. Not just to be, you know, think about a problem in the abstract, but to use, you know, to see where the facts are pointing towards. So let me just put that. So what's the idea of doing the Asiya in order, celebrating the 14th and 15th, and not the opposite order? So it ties into what's the idea of doing the 2 days all together. And that is because the miracle took place in two stages, and they celebrated it in two stages. Right? There was the 13th, the regular unwalled people basically defeat their enemies on the 13th, and then they rested and partied on the 14th. And the Shushan, there was a lot of enemies, and they had an extra day of fighting to destroy all their enemies. And then they rested and partied on the 15th. And that's the way the event to the Nase took place, and that's the way they partied. That's the way the whole events took place in that way, in a two-stage type of a way. And the mitzvah is to, so to speak, relive the events of the Megillah as they took place. And that's why they give Matanos of Yom and Shalchmanos. It created a certain type of camaraderie amongst Jewish people, and right, so the mitzvah is basically to reenact the events which took place on Purim, okay, and in the way it took place, and there was an order: the unwalled cities on the 13th, on the 14th, and the walled cities on the 15th, and therefore our celebration is not just some, you know, some abstract recognition that there were 2 days, but it's a reliving of the events, a reenactment of the events as they took place. In fact, that's why Rabbi had a share once is about explaining, this is an aside, but I think it's an interesting aside, but what's the idea of drinking? You know, what kind of mitzvah is it to get drunk? Right? In general, we don't have mitzvahs like that. Like even Simchas Yontif isn't to get drunk. So what kind of mitzvah is it that we really drink? I mean, there's shittas of all, you really, really get drunk. So it seems like getting drunk is not really a Jewish idea. So to really lose yourself totally. But he explained one year that that's what the Jews did at the time. And the reason why they did it at the time was there was a phenomenon politically. It was a political move. There was a phenomenon of victory party. And the victory party is like, you see, like Achashverosh made a big party at the beginning, you know? There's like, he vanquishes enemies and he's successful and he's that, and there's an idea of like drinking, you know? And the victory party is basically you can drink to your heart's content, you don't have to worry about your enemies, you basically get drunk. It's like, it's a certain expression that you vanquished your enemies. You know, it's kind of like after you win Super Bowl or something like that. You know, you could drink, you know, the whole season they basically can't drink because you got to be disciplined. You got to be, you know, keep focused. But now, basically, the season's over. Now you can do whatever you want to party. You know, so there's a phenomenon of, and it's a political expression of basically your enemies are nothing. And part of, that was the way that they did those things. There was a phenomenon of a victory party. So he said, is that part of the, politically, they had to express the fact that the Jews won, and to, that's part of vanquishing the enemies, is like to celebrate and to, thereby to like affect the culture and the society that the Jews are on top now. And that was an expression, and therefore they used the expression which was used in those times and as an expression of the victory. That was like a step in the vanquishing of their enemy. Now it's saying is, since the mitzvah is to replicate, to reenact the events which took place at that time, because that's the pirsum anes, that we remember those events by the fact that we reenact the events. And we go over what they did. So they did a victory party until they got drunk. And that's just it. Adil Yad Ben Aral Mach Mordechai. Is because is that, so you don't even know who your enemies are. You don't know, like the basic idea in a war, anyone who's fighting has to know who's Baruch and Mizar, who's your enemies, who's your friends. So you drink to the point where basically you lose your sense of, you know, good guy and bad guy. But you could do that when you win, once you're a winner. So that's what he said, is that's why it's not, intrinsically, it's not really, the Torah wouldn't set up a mitzvah, like drinking like that. But since the mitzvah is Pirsum Anes and reenacting what took place then, and that was necessary then for the, you know, for the political expression of the thing. So therefore the mitzvah now is to basically do what they did, to reenact it. So that's why we do exactly like they did. They had a big real drinking fest. So that aside, so the relevance to here is that the order of the days also, that's what it says, the days is not just celebrating two different holidays, but it's reenacting the events as they took place through the Asiya of the Hayom HaMa'ila and its current Menasim. And these days are remembered and done. And the Pasuk, if you read the Pesukim, it's Kayom HaMa, just like the days that they rested in the, I mean, the Pesukim of Megillah bear this out. You know? So the doing is like they did. You're doing the days like they did, which is an order. There's an order. So now maybe it's saying is that the remembering also, like I say, as Matt was going, is that there's two types of remembering. There's a remembering which is like an abstract reviewing of certain ideas. You could look at the events as like some sort of like a, you know, abstract factual matter, you know, where you review over all the points. Like study history. So study history. You could study history by you study different stages in history. You could study Civil War, and then you could study American Revolution, and then you could study whatever, right? I mean, there's... It's true there's an order, but you could study the events, you could kind of break off bits and pieces and study them and go over them independently, right? Out of order even. But then there's like a remembering, that's one type of remembering, but it's like an abstract memory. Then there's like a remembering which I'm going to say a little different than you're saying, but it's like within this spirit of the Asiya, is just like a reliving of the events. It's like you relive the event, you could relive, there's two facets to reliving the events. There's one is through acting out what they did, the 2 days, the parties, you know, in order. And then there's the reliving the events through reviewing them in your mind, through a zechira. A zechira has a function of reliving it in the mind of the person. You're reliving the events. You're experiencing the events through reenacting the events in your mind. And that has to have an order. Because the events, there's an order of the thing. If you're trying to reenact, experience the events of the Megillah, through Korea, so then that has to be in order. So that's what, by the comparison, this Karim and Nasim is showing you that there's a similarity between reading the Megillah and the events of Purim, and acting out the events of Purim. If Rava were correct, that the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is merely a actualization of a text, it's like a Kriya. Just sound like a Kriya. It's reading a book, actualizing a text. Now, what does that have to do with the acting out of the days of Purim? There's one thing is actualizing a text, and the other thing is reliving the events of Purim through Asiya. He says that's not the idea of the, there's nothing in common between those two. But there's a similarity from the pasuk puts them together, and it's karma and asa, it means they are two facets of one thing. That one thing is the reliving of the events of Purim through remembering it in your mind and then expressing it in action. You know, and just like the expressing it in action has an order, there's a definite order, you have 14 before 15, because that's the way it happened and that's the way you relive it. So too in the reading, it's a reading which has a character, not just of an abstract remembering of some facts that took place, but it's reliving. And reliving of the thing is experienced through the fact that you do it in order, you do it out of order, you're not reliving the events. Because like you said, there's a sequence of events, and there's the decree against them, and then there's the whole way it unfolded. So that's essentially machlokes between Rava and the Gemara's conclusion. And so is the mitzvah of reading the Megillah like just not like reading the Torah? It's just like, so to speak, it's a text, and you have to actualize the text. Or Rava's holding, I'm sorry, the Gemara's conclusion is that it's not a mitzvah of reading, really. It's really a mitzvah of remembering events. But you don't remember it by just sitting back and remembering it. You remember it via Kriyas Megillah. Like the Kriyas Megillah is a vehicle of remembering. But essentially, the mitzvah is the remembering of the events. And the book is merely the vehicle through which the remembering takes place, the Maisa Kriya. But it's a Kriya Shel Zechira. And the nature of the Zechira is the Zechira of experiencing the events. And since that's the nature of the thing, the order is an essential component. Okay, 1 second. Go on. Uh-huh. Let me clarify. In other words, if I told you that Megillah is Zechira, remembering, there would be two ways to understand that. There's a remembering which is just an abstract intellectual remembering of events, and that could be out of order. Then there's a remembering which is like an experiencing, a re-experiencing of events. That has to have an order. Okay? That's in order. Now, but how do you know? The Torah says the Megillah says Zechira. So how do you know which Zechira it is? But the fact that the Gemara places it Niskarim and Naasim, remembered and done, so it shows you that there's a similarity between those two. If the remembering is merely like an abstract remembering, it has nothing to do with the doing of the thing. The doing is the reenacting the events in an order, and then the remembering is just an abstract activity. So saying the fact that it parallels, it puts the two together, shows you that the nature of the remembering is reliving, and therefore they have to have an order. Yes, they're both pieces, exactly. Both the Niskarim and the Nas, and the remembering and the acting, are two pieces in a larger picture of realizing the events of Purim and Na'am through their minds and through their actions. You know? And it's really, then that's the way these, the Zichram Lo Yosef Mizaram, that their remembrance, the memory of these events will never cease from Jewish people. And it has such a strong effect on people. The story of Purim is part of like our, you know, part of our collective memory. I mean, the story, it's like a well-known story, and it's because the way the day was set up, in a way that they held these were very important events, and the events should be eternalized in the memories of Klal Yisrael, and the way they set up the mitzvah, in a way that takes place. But I'm saying Rava could never have all this stuff. Because Rava's idea of the mitzvah was not really about remembering. It was about, there's a book, and the book has to be actualized. Like any other Kisvei Kodesh. Look, there's a book of a Megillah, of a Sefer Yeshua, whatever it is. And the book has to be realized, has to be actualized through a Kriya. So it's merely like a mechanical action of taking the book and realizing the book. It's nothing to do with the person remembering events through the book. See, the first way is like there's a book and you have to halachically read the book. And now the book is read. The other way is, no, you have to remember events. But don't just sit back on your own and just think about the events. Do it through Kriya. So the Kriya is the vehicle of the remembering. But the remember, the Kriya is really, it's the Chira Al Yedei Kriya. You know, as opposed to just the Kriya per se. You know, that's what the Gemara goes with. Yes, I guess Rava held. I mean, it seems the Gemara, I don't know if he ended up going along with the Gemara, but he held, apparently, that there's the reenacting the events through the living the events. That's one thing. And then the separate mitzvah is that there's a text, and they wanted the text to be maintained through the Kriya. Two separate mitzvahs. Right? That's the way he learned. I mean, that's true. So the way I'd say the goal is the Kiyam. Is that according to Rava, the Kiyam of the mitzvah was merely that in the Kriya itself. So the Maisa mitzvah is Kriya, and the Kiyam is that you read it. I mean, you say the book is read. But that's right. That's the standard idea of reading. Whereas the Gemara's conclusion is that it's a Kriya, but the Kiyam in the Kriya is the Kiyam of Zechira. The Kriya is the means, but it's really a means to an end of Zechira. Right? Whereas, again, the Rava, it wasn't a means. It was, I mean, I wouldn't say, I mean, reading the book is to read the book, to make the book read. I mean, that is what the action is. It's a kriya, where the kiyam is that it's nikres, that it was read. You know, it goes hand in hand. I don't know if you'd say that halachically, you're not yotze if you don't read the thing, if you don't remember the events. But I mean, that's the real kiyam. The objective of the mitzvah is in the niskarim. That's the way the Torah tells you. The Megillah tells you niskarim and asim. This is the pasuk which tells you you have to read the Megillah. So essentially, it's a zechira through the thing. But in fact, the Gemara says, the Gemara asks, if a guy reads, you read the Megillah in a language you don't understand, so if it's in Hebrew, it still works, even if you don't understand it. So it says how? So it says because, there's different pshatim, I think, but it says that you read it, and then afterwards, people talk about it, and you'll find out what it's about. You know, so it says kriya, and there's Pesumei Nisa. So like Pesumei Nisa is part and parcel of the mitzvah. Now, it's true, if you don't, I mean, even if you don't understand that what exactly, you don't remember the events exactly what it's saying, I don't know how halachically it could be still you fill the mitzvah. And like, you know it's Purim, you know the events, you may not be paying attention, but essentially, I mean, it is what it is. But I mean, it's essentially, the full kiyam of mitzvah is in the zechira. Doesn't mean like that it's ma'akev, that without any zechira at all, that's, you know, zero. But it's because you've done the mitzvah. But I'd say you're lacking in the real fulfillment of the mitzvah. Like, I don't know if you're going to have to do it again. But the real fulfillment of the mitzvah is in the zechira. It's a good question you're asking. I'm not sure. If you have no idea whatsoever about anything. You merely just read the thing. You don't understand it. You don't know anything. No one talks about it. You never even heard of the events of the Purim. It doesn't bring any memory whatsoever to your mind that you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. I mean, I'm not sure. It says in his karim. So, but I mean, I'd say you are, but, you know, it's not simple. Okay, so what's next is, I guess maybe I'll do the facts for tomorrow, but the Rinne Chalama. Okay, that's the next step. It seems like he learns this Gemara differently. Okay? And this is, Maris and Sammy showed this to me. But Rabbeinu Chananel, see, in our Gemara, the way we have the Gersa, it's like, Rava gives this thing, Kirsa Mechazmana. Right? Compares the, just like time is, it can't be out of order, so too the writing, Ksav, can't be out of order. Then the Gemara asks on Rava, wait a second, it's not talking about reading, it's talking about the doing the days. So Mar says, oh, no, new idea. Rather, it's from this other thing, this Karma Manasseh. But Rabbeinu Chananel seems to shove it together. Seems the way he had it is like it asked on Rava, and then it like supplanted Rava with the second part. It's like fixing up a hole in Rava. Not that it's two different ideas. And I'll show you. So he says like this. He says, Menal, I'm a Rava, Demrin Kechsav Mechazmanam. Ma Yudalet Shehuzmanam, just like the 14th, which is its time, Im Yavar. If it passes, lo yitakein lahachzira l'mafraya ulikros abiyom yadalid. You can't, if you miss 14, now it's 15, you can't now go back and read the Megillah on 15. Right? It's okay, miss the Kriyas Megillah. Read the Megillah. So you have to read it on the 14th, let's say. Let's say you missed it. So could you read it now on the 15th? It says, no, you can't do it. Why? Shekvar over? Because you already passed. The time passed. The day was 14, now it's 15. So just like that, just like the ksavam, which is, I guess, the reading of the Megillah, you know, the ksav, reading of the ksav. I'm sorry, the zmanah of the Megillah, just like the zmanah, the timing of the Megillah, of when you read the Megillah, has to be in order, in the proper time. Kach kriyasa l'mafreyala. So too, the reading of the Megillah. Right? This is a kachsavam, which is, I guess, somehow a reference to the reading of the Megillah, has to be in its time. Okay, has to be in order. Okay, again, just like the timing of the reading has to be in its proper. You can't go backwards. If you missed it on 14, now you can't go back and do it on 15. So if you can't go back in time, you already missed the time. So too, in the reading itself, it has to be in order. So in afagav dehai kra kichsavam v'chizman b'asiyuksev. And even though that pasuk is not talking about the reading of the Megillah, but it's talking about the asiya, the doing of the day of Purim, the doing. Istgir sechira l'asiya, but the pasuk compares the doing to the remembering. Because it compares in this karmanasam. So it's saying is really it's going with Rava. Is that really it's saying is kichsama mechizmanam, like they were written, like it's times. Okay, just like the time has to be done properly, so too the reading has to be done in order. Aye, but that's talking about the asiyah, the doing of the days. It says, yeah, but the pasuk compares the doing of the days to the reading of the Megillah. So just like, so therefore, it doesn't matter that that's talking about doing of the days, because reading the Megillah is equated with doing of the days. So it would be as if that pasuk was written regarding the reading of the Megillah. So it says, if, regarding reading the Megillah, it said, Kichsavim v'hizmanam, it compared the Zman, which means that the times have to be in order, to the Kichsavim, which is somehow the reading has to be in order. I mean, it's a little vague here. We have to, I'm just trying to translate what he says and put it together. But, you know, this is different than what we were, than what we're doing now. Than what we, the way we were learning it. The way we were learning it is throw out the first pasuk. The first pasuk is like, the Gemara rejects. That's talking about the doing of the days. That's not telling you about this, the order. It has nothing to do with Kesavim. Now, it's just totally based on the second pasuk. Totally second pasuk is Karmanasim, just like the way it's, done has to be in order, so to the remembering has to be in order. Now this is learning different. No, this Karmanas just shows you that there's a comparison between reading and doing. Oh, so now the first pasuk, which is talking about doing, could equally well be talking about the reading, the remembering it. And then you have that comparison between the Kesavim and Zmanim within the remembering it. Okay, well, we have to, it's a little tricky. I mean, without getting ideas, I'm just kind of talking pshat. I mean, part of the mystery here is to figure out what he's doing and how this thing pieces together. So, I mean, I'm talking about it on a factual level, but it's very complicated. So, but hopefully our job is to crack it and figure out what's, you know, conceptually going on here. So it does sound complicated, but yeah, it's two lines, and it's worth looking it over and trying to, you know, figure out what he's talking about. So I like to do that. I don't know how long it's going to take. And then I think we still have at least another day, Wednesday. So what I like to do next is, the question is that when you have this totally different sugya, but I don't know how far into it we'll get, but this question comes up is so the walled cities read on the 4th, on the 15th, and unwalled cities read on the 15th. Walled cities on the 15th and unwalled on the 14th. So walled when? Do you go by whether they have walls now? No. When? Anyone? So, you may say, well, at the time of the Purim story. That would be a good guess. So, it's Machlokas. The Mishnah, we hold not. It goes, walled at the time of Yeshua Ben-Nun. The time the Jews conquered Eretz Yisrael. Did it have a wall? Or did it not have a wall? Pretty strange. But it's Machlokas. That's one position. That's where we hold. The other position holds that it goes by the wall at the time of Mordechai Nestor. So the question is, first of all, why doesn't it just go by theory? Why doesn't it go by walled now? Or, you know, but you know, what's the machlokas? So the Gemara is on. We'll get to it, but if you want to look at it, the Gemara is on Beis and Beis. You know, Beis and Beis, pretty much. Okay, you can find it if you want.